Very good. You ready? Joshua chapter 5. You would find your place there. Joshua chapter 5. And we're kind of breaking our pattern. We're not going to do the entire chapter tonight. We're going to do the first 12 verses. Okay? So Joshua chapter 5. And we will start in verse number 1. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were on the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until it were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel." That was one sentence. That was a run-on. Any English majors in here? We'll explain that here in a second. Verse 2. "At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make these sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised." Now there's a lot going on here. I promise you I'll explain it all here in a second. Verse 6. He knows. Inside joke. Verse 6. "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord." Now, he's talking about those who wouldn't go into the promised land. We'll talk more about that. "And to whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you, from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal," which means rolled, by the way, "unto this day." Verse 10. "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day." Verse 12. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." And so we'll pray, we'll get into our message, and the title is this: Getting Things in Order. Getting Things in Order. And then maybe a subtitle is this: Eating the Fruit of the Land. We'll explain what that means here in a second. I'm excited about it. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you've already worked in your house today. I pray that you would do the same. We're confident that you'll work through your word. Help us, Lord, to have hearts that are ready to hear, have soil that is fertilized and ready to hear the word of God tonight, and that we would be willing to follow you even before you ask. I pray that you would work in a mighty way. We love you in Christ, and I pray, amen, and amen. You may be seated. And so after the crossing of the Jordan, that's what happened really back in chapter number 3. They crossed the Jordan River. We've discussed that over the past few weeks. I won't go through all of it, but the priests hit the ground, hit the water. The water parted. Really, it didn't part, right? It stopped flowing. The water was dammed up at Adam, I think the city was, and the tributaries were dammed up, and the water ceased and was dammed, and then the ground was dried out, and they passed on dry ground, miracle of the Lord. And Israel is what's happening in the life of Israel, is they're finally entering the promised land. The land that was promised to Abraham, the land that Moses promised to Egypt, to Israel while they were in Egypt, that God was going to free them, and he was going to bring them to the land that was promised to Abraham. Now, if you remember Abraham, God promised the land to Abraham, and Abraham did sojourn in the land, but he never owned the land. Abraham never got to see the promise fulfilled, and this is the promise being fulfilled. And so this is a big deal in the life of Israel as a nation. And they went up to this to the brink of the water. They passed through. And if you remember, they went straight to Gilgal. Remember, last week we talked about how that the men went in and grabbed the 12 stones. And they brought the stones from the bed of the river to Gilgal. And so they made it there. And if you remember back in chapter 4, in verse number 24, if you look there, talking about that pile of stones, that memorial that they built, Joshua said this, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And so God parted the Jordan, one, obviously, to allow Israel into the promised land, but also to show his power to the Canaanites. And if you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about Rahab, there's really two things happening in the land of Canaan, isn't there? One, obviously, is them receiving the promised land. Two is the Canaanites are being judged, right? And God has given them, well, I think 400 years it was that we said, 400 years of grace, and they refused to follow the Lord. And so there's judgment happening in the land of Canaan. There's also blessing in the land, the nation of Israel. And if we can think of it this way, as we think of the nation and we think about, as Paul said, the things that were written are written for our encouragement. If we could think of Israel this way as really starting, we said this, starting their journey of sanctification, right? The promised land, you can say this, is really the land that God wanted for them, obviously. And in our life, as we study through this, as they start to take more and more of the land, if we could think of it this way, it's the life that God wants for us, the victorious life, the sanctified life. He wants us to claim ground in our Christian life, doesn't he? He wants us to win victory after victory after victory. He wants us to take step by step, but that's how it goes, right? It's step by step. God didn't bring them over to the Jordan River and then just wipe out everybody. He could have done that, couldn't he? And the same God who parted the Jordan and showed his power and by the way, melted the hearts of the Canaanites, he could have just wiped them out if he wanted to and just let Israel in there. But part of the process of sanctification is us fighting those battles, right? Fighting those battles and getting in the land, getting into the life that God has for us. And that life, to get into that life God has for us, it requires two things. It requires that we remove from our life what doesn't belong. And the Canaanites just don't belong anymore. The Canaanites is a representation of the sin of our life, of the things that were in the land before it was sanctified, if you will. Things that were in our life that ought not be there. So there's some things that need to be removed before what God intends can take place. And that, you could just think of the different battles as different parts of your life, different areas of your life. And aren't you thankful God doesn't expose all of our problems to us all at once? We'd all just be in the fetal position, just you know, stressed out all the time. The way God works is step by step, is step by step. God reveals to you something that he wants you to do, something he wants you to get rid of, or if you've gotten rid of it, maybe something he wants you to add in his place. But God gives you battle by battle by battle. And it would be good for you to remember that. That you're doing well as a Christian, if you're perfect. If you have in your mind success as a Christian as being perfect and having no problems, then you're just going to live a frustrated life because you're not going to be there. You're never going to be perfectly sanctified. But success, if you will, if you want to call it that, as a Christian, means you're taking step by step. And don't compare yourself with what you want to be, everything you want. Compare yourself with what you were yesterday. And if you've taken a step since yesterday, you're on the path of sanctification. And don't compare yourself with other people. And don't look down on others who have steps behind you and then start thinking you're good because you've taken more steps than they have. No, maybe you've taken more steps than they have in a whole, but maybe in the last couple of weeks you've taken a couple of steps backwards. And even though you may be ahead of them, you're not doing good because you're going backwards. Are you following? We need to be always taking step by step. And don't compare yourself with someone who's ahead of you. And you think, I'll never get there. Well, you don't know that. Just take some steps. Just focus on the next step. That's what God wants. Remember Jim Berg? He said that wisdom is not the helicopter view. Have you been in Sunday school class? Wisdom is not the helicopter view and having a view of the entire landscape. Wisdom is more of a dashboard view, that you know the right next step. And what God wants you to do next, let's do that. And then you'll take a step. And in our text, this is Jericho, isn't it? Jericho is their next step. Take a step. And then Jericho will be done. And they'll go to Ai. And then on and on they go until one day they've got the kingdom. You see? And that's what God wants for you. He wants you step by step. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged because maybe you're not as far as you want to be. Step by step by step. How do you eat an elephant again? Do they taste good anyway? I want to know. But how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Anyone ever eat an elephant? Man, if you bagged an elephant, Brother Eric, that's a lot of meat. Anyway, one bite at a time, and you'll eventually get there. And so that's the Christian life, step by step. And that's the process for Israel to take to claim the land. And by the way, they say this over and over, the land that God has given you. God's already given it to you. God's already done it. He's melted their hearts. We just got to go in there and claim it. Step by step. Okay, so it's begun. Chapter 5 is the beginning. They've made it. They're at Gilgal, and we get to verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on this side, Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until it were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So what we're talking about, the Amorites, the Canaanites, these are the enemies. These are the ones in the land that need to be taken care of. And here's what's happened is they heard about what happened at Jordan, just like God said, right? That all the earth would know his power. And they saw the power of God. Now, they're not thinking spiritually. They're not really scared much about God because they've kind of rejected him, but they're scared of Israel, aren't they? And their hearts are melted because of the children of Israel. Now, here's the thing. Humanly speaking, tactically speaking, militarily speaking, that's the time to strike, isn't it? When the enemy's morale is low, when they're shaking in their boots, they're thrown off. Now's the time to strike. Did you notice that we never struck in chapter 5? No battle has taken place. Do you know why? Because there's some things that Israel needs to take care of first. There's some things that Israel needs to take care of before they're ready to battle. And if they're just thinking, humanly speaking, everything lined up, it just seems so perfect. Go. But God didn't say go yet. God said before you go into Jericho, there's some things you need to do. One is this, they had to circumcise those that were in the wilderness. Now circumcision was the sign of the covenant with Abraham. Remember that? When God called Abraham, he said, I'm going to make a great seed out of you and a great nation. And out of your nation will come who? The Messiah, right? He's the one that would bless all nations. And so God made a covenant with Israel, and they were God's people. And by the way, anything that Israel was going to do, it was going to be God that did it. Who's the one that dried that parted the Red Sea? Who's the one that parted the Jordan River? Who's the one that brought them through the wilderness? Who's the one that melted the hearts of the enemies? It was God. And so the only reason Israel is anything is because of God. It's because of the covenant that God made with Israel. Well, the sign of the covenant, God commanded that they would circumcise all the males that are born in their land. And Abraham did that, and Isaac did that, and Jacob did that, and Joseph did that. But in Egypt, they didn't do that. Now, there's some speculation. Maybe the Egyptians didn't let them. They were slaves. Who knows? It doesn't really matter at this point. But when they left Egypt, Moses made sure that they were all circumcised because they didn't want to leave and start this journey and not be right with the covenant of God. They needed God. If this was only going to be by God. And so they circumcised the males right then. Well, we're not going to read through all of it, but basically here's what's happening is they didn't do it anymore. They're supposed to circumcise all the firstborn, and they didn't. They didn't do it. The whole wilderness journey. None of them. And so if you remember, the ones that came out of Egypt, what happened to them? They all died, didn't they? Because God brought them to the promised land. God showed them the promised land. And who are they scared of again? The giants. Yeah. You know, the giants. Can't beat them without God's help. And so they saw the giants, and they were scared. They wouldn't go in. So that's a problem. And so God said, okay, then you can't see the promised land. Your kids will. They'll see the promised land. Well, that was a problem. But really, we're finding out, aren't we, that maybe that decision itself sprung from already disobedience, because that whole time they were not obeying the laws of circumcision. So they weren't doing good. They weren't trusting God. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do. You see? And so God said to Joshua, no, before we go into battle, let's get this taken care of. And they did. Are you following? Yeah. So they had to do that. Problem. That makes it to where they can't fight for a few weeks. And it could, listen, and doing that seemed like a pretty major inconvenience. Like the plan was in place. They had crossed the river. God's power was on display. And humanly speaking, everything was in line that this was the time. The morale was down. It was time to fight. But they needed to stop and take care of something that God wanted them to do, even though it was an inconvenience. And I'm telling you that you don't want to move forward. Sometimes there's things in life that it seems like now is the time, now is the time, now is the time. Everything's lined up. Hold on, pause. Wait, did you see what God said about it first? Because you might have to take care of some things before you move on. Before you move on. Let's make sure that we're not being pragmatic. You know what that means? That we're not doing something just because it makes the most sense to us. We need to make sure that we're in line with God. And sometimes following God in our humanly speaking, in our mind, sometimes feels like an inconvenience. But if it does, then we're not thinking right. Because they weren't going to win. Listen, they weren't going to win the battles because everything just happened to line up right. They were going to win the battles because they were because God was on their side, or they were on God's side, right? Because God was going to do it. And if what matters to you most is that you're on with God and that you're on God's side, if what matters to you most is that, well, then you'll take the inconveniences and you'll do what God calls you to do. No matter what it takes, you're going to follow God because you need God to be involved with your decisions. You need God. And sometimes we need to stop and take care of some things. There's another thing that they needed to start doing that they stopped doing. Look in verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So God just happened to bring them to Gilgal right when Passover was supposed to take place. Passover. You guys know what Passover is? That the first Passover was when God, in Exodus, and God sent the plagues, right? God sent the 10 plagues, and the last plague was the angel of death. And God said to the Israelites, now the angel of death is going to come, and he's going to kill the firstborn of all who don't do this thing, who don't kill the lamb and paint the blood of the lamb on the doors. Remember that? And by the way, Egypt was in that covenant too. They could have done that. Potentially some did. Most obviously didn't. But Israel, that's what they did. They killed the lamb and they painted the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And when the angel of death came and he saw the blood, you know the song? When I see the blood. And when he saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, he would pass over their house. And there would be no death in that house. And you obviously see the picture that God's making, right? And the blood of the lamb. And on that day, when the day of judgment happens and God sees the blood of Christ, of the Lamb, he will pass over us. Praise the Lord for that. But anyways, that happened, and that last plague was the plague that did it, right? It was the straw that broke the camel's back for Pharaoh. Pharaoh finally let Israel go, and they left. And do you remember what God told them to do? He said, do this. continually, year by year. Do the Passover. You know what they didn't do? The Passover. How long were they in the wilderness? For 40 years. You know how many times they did the Passover? Once. At Mount Sinai. So they left Egypt. They went to Mount Sinai. Remember at Mount Sinai, that's where God gave the Ten Commandments. That's where God really gave the whole law of Moses. He gave it to them at Mount Sinai. And remember the cloud and the top of the mountain and the fire and all of that and the presence of God. Well, that got them set straight. And they did the Passover for a while. Yeah. Didn't take long. But they did the Passover then and didn't do it since. You see? And so Joshua says, we need to do the Passover. And then they did. You know, sometimes we think that just because we're heading in the direction God has for us that we're doing right, but you know, here's the thing. When you enter sanctification, remember crossing the Jordan, remember what we did? We just followed the ark and we trusted God. And God clears the way. And we start the process of sanctification. Oftentimes, every time we start that process, it starts here. It starts here with you just trusting God to do it, right? It starts with a prayer that says, God, I realize I can't. Remember, they're at the Jordan River. They can't cross the Jordan. They can't fight these walled cities. They can't fight the Canaanites. They're not strong enough. And so what they needed to do first was trust God, that God would do it. And remember they said, when you see their feet hit the water, you know that God's going to do it. You need to trust Him. And the first step in sanctification is this, knowing that God can do it. Right? That's what it takes. Knowing that God can do it, and then surrendering to whatever God has for you. Right? And that's what just happened. Here's what happens next in your life. After you surrender to God, you say, God, I can't do this life you want me to live on my own. I can't win these battles. I've been facing these things for my whole life. I can't overcome this. I can't do this. But I know you can. Remember the Jordan River raging? That's kind of what we're talking about. And you trust God. He starts doing it. And then you say, God, I'll do anything you ask. Here's what God will start doing. Okay, for the last 40 years, there's some things you've been neglecting. And so I'm ready to battle. This is God speaking. I'm ready to battle for you. But first we need to go back, maybe, and take care of some things that you maybe should have been doing all along and you haven't been. See? And there's some big old battles coming in your life. And before you get in those big battles, you need to go back and fix some things. Fix maybe the way you've been thinking about some stuff, maybe. Or you've not been thinking the way God tells you to think about some of these things. Maybe you've not been handling conflict the right way. Maybe you've not been loving people the way you ought to. Maybe you've not been reading your Bible like you know you should have been. Maybe you've not been praying to God like you know you should be. And honestly, that's kind of how you got into the mess to start with. And I'll tell you, the reason why they struggled the way they did and the reason why half of Israel doesn't enter the Promised Land is because they didn't trust God. But I think if we look at it, there was a whole list of little, maybe potential little things that they weren't doing. They weren't doing the Passover. That's kind of a big thing, but you know what I mean. In the life of a nation, they weren't doing the Passover every year. They weren't circumcising their males. And then when they get to the Promised Land, they're not ready. You see? And oftentimes in our life, when we get into a mess, we see the immediate. Oh, the giant's in lane. We just didn't trust God. Oh, why didn't we trust God? Here's why you didn't trust God. Because for 20 years, you've not been doing what God told you to do. And the life that God has is day by day by day by day. And oftentimes, in between, from Egypt to they get to the Canaan, 20 years of just kind of wandering in the desert. And they got complacent, didn't they? And they weren't intentional about their walk with God. And they weren't doing the things that they know they should be doing. And when they get to the big battle, they're not ready. And what did Jesus say? He said, if you're faithful in little, then you can be faithful in much. And oftentimes we're not winning the big battles because we're just being complacent about the little battles. And we need to go back and say, okay, God, I'm right with you. By the way, when you pray that prayer and you mean it in your heart and you surrender to God and you're ready to do anything God asks, you're already right with God. This isn't about getting right with God in a sense. Your heart is right with Him, but then there's some practical things that God's going to say, now that we're right again, we need to go back and fix some stuff. And listen, we need to get some things in order. And it could be that there's some things in your life that has not been in order. We listed some. I don't know what God's dealing with you about tonight, but you might need to start there before you start looking at the big battle that you want to face. You see? Are you following? Yeah. Some spiritual disciplines. We need to get God back in our daily life, don't we? Yeah. And so they did that. Praise the Lord. And then, I love this. Verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land. That's Nebraskan right there. Corn! Yes! And they ate of the old corn of the land. When? On the morrow after what? The Passover. So they went back and they corrected the things that they've neglected in their life. And they started to get back in line with circumcision. They started to get back in line with Passover. And the next day, here's what they're doing. They're eating of the fruit of the land. Isn't that what he called it next? Look at verse 12. And the manna ceased. Remember the manna that God provided? He didn't need it anymore. On the morrow, after they had eaten the old corn of the land, why? Neither had the children anymore, had the children of Israel manna anymore. Why? But they didn't eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. That year, they ate of the fruit of the land. You know what land we're talking about? Deuteronomy 8:8 described it to them like this: a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, the land of olive and honey. Over and over again, it calls it the land flowing with milk and honey. The land that God has for them, the promised land, was overflowing with fruit, overflowing with benefits. And they get to the land and they don't start eating and benefiting from the land until they went back and they took care of some things that they have neglected. And I'm telling you, the day after, they start eating of the fruit of the land. They only have a little bit of land. They have a lot of land left. There's a lot of fruit. Remember when where the giants were? Remember the giants? Don't forget the giants. They're still really strong. And so, but there was also those huge grapes. Remember that? That took two men to carry. And there is a lot of, hey, there's a lot. Listen, there's a lot to be enjoyed in Canaan land. They just got started. But it all starts. Hey, God has a lot that He wants to bless you with. God has a lot that He wants to give you in your life. God has it's going to require some battles. It's going to require some work. It's going to require some getting right with God over and over again. It's going to require some steps in your life. It's going to require getting some stuff and some junk out of your life and some adding some stuff into your life. But as you do that, you know what you get to enjoy? The fruit of the land. There are a lot of people just hanging out in Gilgal, looking at it, refusing to get in line, refusing to get back in line with the Passover, refusing to get back in line with circumcision. And they said, listen, look, we made it past the river. We're good. No, we've got the fruit of the land to enjoy. But we can't enjoy it. Hey, we cannot enjoy the fruit of the land until we've dealt with our complacency. God's there. God's already given it to you. It's as good as won. God's already defeated the battle. He defeated the foe on the cross. He nailed all of those things you're worried about to the cross. He's already won it. And he wants for you to get rid of those things. And he wants for you to enjoy your life. And he wants for you to eat of the fruit of the land that he's already given you. But you are going to have to make a choice to say, God, whatever you want. God, you know where I've been. You know what I've been dealing with. And I'm sorry. And I want to get back in line. You know what? God wasn't like, well, you're going to have to prove yourself to me for a while. I can't trust you. No, you're going to have to maybe do Passover for a few years. We'll keep the manna coming. You just stare at the fruit of the land until you go ahead and eat your Passover for a few years and you prove to me that you're ready to follow. God's not like that. God's not vindictive. God's not that way. God's not like us. God doesn't He's not, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He's not like that. He is excited to give you the fruit of the land. He's, listen, he's excited to forgive you, and he's excited to move on with you. And this isn't really part of the message, but it is part of the message. We ought to be that way with people. And we ought, when people are messing up and people aren't doing right and people have offended us, we ought not to be like, oh, well, they're going to have to make sure that you earn my trust. No, what we need to be is excited that they're back in line and we want to accept them back in the fold. And we're excited to forgive them and move on and start eating the fruit of land with them. Invite them to our tables and let's follow God. Let's eat of the fruit of the land. That's going to require going back, fixing some things. What's God dealing with you tonight? I don't know. But I can't help but think God's got something on your mind, something you've been neglecting. And maybe your eyes have been so focused on this battle and why it's so hard to win this battle. All the while, in the back of your mind, you know, but I've not even been doing this. What is that? Let's get it done. Get it done. God will help you with that. Let's go. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for how you worked in the land of Israel and how you brought them through so many trials. And God, as you well know, many of their trials were self-inflicted. But Lord, we're thankful for your grace, your mercy. And thank you for your grace and your mercy in our life. Help us to get our life back in line with you. Help us to go back and tighten up those areas that we've neglected and be ready to battle. Pray that you bless our church that way. We love you. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Stand together.